So Max Lucado, he tells a story of a man who dared God to speak. He said to God, "Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Still the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen." And the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man, so God answered. He sent a fire, not for a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not a brick, but of sin. He stilled the storm, not of the sea, but of the soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Because the man was looking at bushes, not hearts. Bricks, not lives. Seas, not souls. He decided that God had done nothing. And finally, he looked to God and asked, "Have you lost your power?" And God looked at him and said, "Have you lost your hearing?" It's a great question. Have we lost our hearing? And I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God will give us ears that hear, eyes that see, and feet that will follow. I pray that we'd be open to what God is doing in our lives and that we would truly hear him. So the last several weeks, we've been in a sermon series and we're looking at these six practices that God gave his people to implement while they were waiting for him in exile. And the practice we want to look at today is to listen and to seek the God of hope. That we would be a people that would listen and seek the God of hope. And it comes from Jeremiah 29. And we'll go to Jeremiah 29 and then we'll jump over to Mark's gospel. But in Jeremiah 29:8, God said this. He actually puts this in a negative aspect here. He says, "For thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie, and they are prophesying to you in my name, and I did not send them, declares the Lord." So part of listening to God has something to do with what we don't listen to. And what we kind of tune out. And then positively, he says this, 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." He says, "And then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me. And I will hear you and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So I want to look at a parable in Mark where Jesus calls his people to hear him and to actually seek after him. However, before we get there, I want to address something that's really important before we move. First of all, when God says he wants us to hear him, he wants us to hear him and obey him above every other voice. It's not like, "Hey, I've got some good advice. There's some good advice over there. You know, pick and choose." He says, "No, I want you to hear me above all those other voices." And secondly, I don't know about you, but lots of times people go, "Hey, you need to hear this guy. And this is what Christians really need to be doing this." And sometimes I'm like, "Really? That's what you think Christians should be doing?" But in there, you know, you have to ask a question, because you'd say, "Well, how do I know this is from God? You know, maybe this is. How do I know? How do I know that somebody is speaking on behalf of God? How do I know that a voice is prophetic? How did they follow Jeremiah? I mean, because we can read through the book of Jeremiah and be like, "Wow, these people are stupid. Why aren't they listening to Jeremiah?" Well, how did they know to listen to Jeremiah? How did they know that he's a prophet? Let me give you three, and then we're going to, three attributes from Jeremiah about a true prophet or a spokesperson from God, and then we'll move in on our focus on listening and seeking. So real quickly, a prophet is sent by God and speaks the words of God. All right, pretty simple, straightforward. Jeremiah, God calling Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:7, He said, but the Lord said to me, do not say that I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So when somebody's speaking, they're saying, this is what you need to do, church. This is what we need to do. You might want to ask yourself, first of all, was this person sent by God? And second of all, does it line up with God? You know, you can look through the words of Scripture and go, does this message match up with this? Or are they speaking something else? Secondly, a prophet knows God. That's really vital. That's really important. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. So we need to understand something. When the Bible says know God, or somebody knows God, it doesn't mean that they have an intellectual assent. Like, oh yeah, I know about God, and I read this. But they are in a transformative relationship with God, where they become more like Jesus. In fact, Jeremiah said this in 22:13. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing, and does not give him his wages. We skip down to verse 16. He says, he judged the cause of the poor and the needy, then it was well. Is not this to know me, declares the Lord. In other words, if you know me, you're going to do the things that I would do. You're going to live the way that I would live. In fact, we know how God would live if he was human, right? What if God were one of us? Well, he was. He came in the person of Jesus Christ. John put it this way, if anyone does not love, or anyone who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. You know what they're saying? They're saying character matters. Character matters. It's not just the message, but character matters. One last thing, and then we'll move forward. A prophet's words prove to be true. If it's from God, it's going to come true. Sometimes we have to go, well, let's sit and wait. let's see if this is true. Jeremiah 28:9, as for the prophets who prophesy peace, Jeremiah says, hey, we're going to be in exile for 70 years. And a bunch of people say, no, that's not it. God's going to bring us back and we're going to do this. And God says, okay, for those that are prophesying peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. They spent 70 years in exile, so that's why we can look back and go, that's right, Jeremiah was correct. Jeremiah was the prophet that was sent by God. He knows God, and his words prove to be true. Well, let's fast forward a little over half a millennium. And this man named Jesus of Nazareth, he comes on the scene, and he meets all these requirements of being a true prophet. And beyond that, he's got quite the resume, by the way. He's God in the flesh, and he meets the specific prophecies of the Messiah. And so this God-man, this prophet, he comes and speaks in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 4. We're going to kind of hang out here. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. So God in the flesh, he's speaking to us this morning. And this is what he says. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has more, more will be given, and the one who has not, even that will be taken away. So the words here are in the genre of a parable. Now, when you think a parable, don't think of like Oh, Jesus is like, oh, okay, I'm going to preach a sermon. Let me think of some good illustrations here. All right, so he's not just giving sermon illustrations. There's more going on in a parable than illustrations. Greg Lanier of Gospel Coalition, he writes this. Jesus used parables to reveal the mystery of the kingdom, to stimulate reflection on sin, to call people to repentance, and to produce the opposite among those hardened against him. Very interesting. So if we're going to understand what's going on here, we need to put it into context. And so this short parable, it's in the middle of three parables. And all the other parables have seeds in the parables. And it's illustrating the power of the kingdom of God. You know, like this little tiny seed, it's sown out there, and then wow, look what happened there. So it's about the power of the kingdom of God and these parables. And the parable right before this, there's a parable called the parable of the sower, and we know it's called that because Jesus called it that, in which he describes four kinds of soil. In which seed is generously sown. If you go through it, it's almost like he's haphazard. He's like, yeah, you get seed, and you get seed, and you get seed, and everybody gets seed. So he's throwing out seed out there. And then after he shares this parable about the sower, Jesus turns to his disciples, Mark 4:11, and he says this. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But to those on the outside, everything is in parables. Verse 12, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, that they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you understand this parable? In other words, he says, church, do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? He's like, do you understand this? All right? He's like, if you don't get this, church, he says, how will you understand all the parables? How are you going to get this if you don't understand this? Now, let me suggest something here. When I was reading through that passage, if nothing startled you in there, just go ahead and reread it later. All right? Because Jesus tells us, he's like, hey, this is serious. There are life and death consequences with the words that I'm speaking here. And I read through that and I'm like, Jesus, you're bringing up all kinds of questions. Let me answer just one of those questions, all right? Is Jesus telling riddles so people won't understand what he's saying? And let me answer that with a definite no and yes. And there's a reason behind it. Everything, you've got to put it back in its context. What's the reason for what Jesus is saying in this context with the definite no and yes? So let's go back to Mark 4:21. Jesus is again speaking. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Now, I think most of us know this analogy where in another place Jesus is speaking to followers and he's saying, hey, let people see your good works. And so we understand that analogy here, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's using the same analogy. He's taking it in a different way. So let's just look at this. Jesus is the lamp. And Jesus is going to answer the question that we were asking. And he's going to answer that question by asking a question. You ever notice that? You go through the Gospels and people ask Jesus questions and he answers their question with a question. That's always fun. So he's going to ask them a question. So the lamp, the light of God, he says this. He says, does the lamp come? And which is a better translation. If you look at the Greek, which just think, who came into the world? Jesus, not a trick question, all right? So Jesus came in the world. Does the lamp come for the purpose of being placed under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Anybody know? Again, not a trick question. It's on the stand. You don't bring the lamp to hide it under the bed, all right? Not rocket science. And so he hasn't come to be hidden, but to shine the light for all to see. John put it this way: in him was life, and the light was the light to was the light of men. So, you know, you're going, well, how is this hidden? How come these are parables, and you're not giving these guys the answer? Let me suggest that the problem lies not with the sower nor with the lamp, but the recipients. The recipient bears some responsibility to listen to what has been said. All right, so the problem's not with the lamp. The lamp's doing its job. It's shining. All right, let's go on. Jesus continues in verse 22. He says, for nothing is hidden. All right. The gospel, it may be veiled at this point, but it's not going to stay that way. He says, because nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So it may be hidden for now, but that's not the purpose, to stay hidden. And for whatever reason that Jesus had in this moment, and I would say it's probably connected to people's spiritual distractions, to their unbelief, to their wrong expectations of the Messiah, that were shaped more by their cultural and their political ideology than biblical prophecy. They thought the Messiah was going to do a whole bunch of things that you go to the Old Testament, you go, no, that does not line up. And so somewhere in there, the gospel was veiled to these people. But Jesus says nothing is hidden except to come to light. What's an action point for us? God wants people to know the good news of the gospel. All right? God wants people to know the good news of the gospel. God wants us to let people know that God has come in the person of Jesus Christ to make all things new. You and I were created to, by faith, come into a life-transforming relationship with God, with God the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? When Jesus came, he spoke in parables. We might even call them riddles. You don't have to. You don't have to speak in riddles. You know, you can proclaim the gospel. The Apostle Paul, he closed his letter to the Romans with this. Romans 6:16-25. He says, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, the him is Jesus, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. All right, so something was kept secret, but it's not to remain secret, right? It's to be brought to light. Verse 26. But now has been disclosed through the prophetic writings, have been made known to all nations, to all ethnos, to all people groups, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. All right? Nothing is hidden except to come to light. So if verses 21 and 22 are promises, 23 and 24 serve as a warning. And so let's like literally do what Jesus says here, because we want to really tune in to what's going on. Verse 23, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Or let him hear it. Anybody have ears? Okay, so listen to what Jesus is saying. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you're hearing. And with the measure you use it, in other words, how you use what's coming in, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. What's our action step here? Pay attention to what you hear. pay attention to what's going on. And we need to pay attention to not only what we listen to, but who we listen to. I mean, we get cues from all kinds of places. And we need to pause and say, okay, does this line up with the character and action of Jesus? You know, do I pick and choose the words of Jesus based on what's convenient and palatable? Or do we just take him at his word? I think, self-included, we do a lot of the first part. And we need to ask questions here when we come to Jesus. What kingdom am I living for? You know, is it his kingdom? Is he the king? Is he giving me the marching orders? Or is it something else? And I have to ask myself, what kingdom do I want? Do I want Jesus? Do I want what Jesus wants? Do I want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do I want a little Jesus thrown in with the life that I have? You know, I'll have this, this, and this, and throw in a side of Jesus. You know, and we could do that, and we have to ask this question that Jesus invites us to. Am I all in? Is it him that I follow? And I pray that we would be like Peter. Because Jesus, you ever notice, like, Jesus says something, you're like, man, that's really weird, or that's really tough. And people wandered away, and Jesus says, hey, do you guys want to go also? You know, and Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, you have the words of eternal life. We've tried all that before. You have the words. We're going to follow you. And this previous parable that Jesus shared, it begins and it ends with a plea to listen to Jesus. I'll back up a little bit. Mark 4:3. Jesus starts the parable with this. Listen. Right? Yeah, you're probably picturing your mom or your dad or somebody. You know, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. He says, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. He tells the whole story, tells the parable. Verse 9, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now think about that. Everybody there, they were given the same invitation. Right? Jesus says, I'm about to say something important. I don't know when he said something non-important, but right now I'm saying something really important, and I want you to listen. And the response, or the condition of the soil, is a direct correlation with the recipient's ability or willingness to hear. You go back through and you read through every time. It was, did they listen? Did they hear his words? In Mark 4:18-19, when Jesus explains the parable, he says, and other ones are sown among thorns. So he's out there sowing. He sows some, and it's sown among thorns. And it says, they are those who hear the word. So they sat in church on Sunday. They came to the Bible study. They listened. And then it says, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now think about the world we live in. It's full of noise, right? More noise than back then. Because they didn't have these, you know, they didn't have these things. They didn't have, you know, constant white noise going on around them. But it's full of noise. And we've got the cares of the world. We got the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. I like that Jesus just throws that in there. Like, he's very specific, and he's like, and there's other things. You know, there's other things that you're going to, he doesn't even name them. He's like, there's just other things out there that are going to come at you. There's going to be this noise. There's competing voices for my attention. All right? And if I'm not very careful about how I listen to Jesus and how I listen to these other voices, Jesus says, here's what's going to happen. Those other voices, they're going to come in, and they're going to choke out the word. Okay, they're going to choke out my voice. Their voice is going to sound louder. Their voice is going to sound truer to you than my own voice. And what you heard is going to prove unfruitful. The writer of Hebrews 2:1, he said this. He said, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And over time, here's what happens. You know, we got all these voices coming in, they're coming at us. And over time, we begin to sound more like social influencers. We began to sound more like the radio and TV commentators than we do Jesus Christ. And unless those voices, the social influencers and the radio and the TV, unless they're presenting the gospel, unless they're telling you how to live out the kingdom, which quite often they're probably not, that's scary. That's scary when we're giving value to all of that, particularly when we place it at equal or higher value than what Jesus has said. Jesus says that's a danger. That's going to choke that out. Casting Crowns, in their hit song, says it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray, and thoughts invade, and choices are made. I'm not telling you to not listen to anybody outside of the gospel. I'm telling you to take what Jesus says and pay really close attention. Be careful and don't let those things choke out his word. Jesus finishes the section in verse 25 of Mark's gospel. And he says, for the one who has, more will be given. And for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, this isn't quite like Jesus going, okay, church, whatever you put into it, that's what you're going to get out of it. Close, but not really. Because it negates something. It negates grace. And you think about that. Where were the seeds sown? All over the place. Right? It's almost like he's indiscriminate. Like, yeah, I'm not sure about that soil over there, but here's some grace, and here's some grace, and sure hope that's good soil. So he shows that all over the place. And what he's saying here is if you and I, if we open ourselves up, if we receive the grace that we're given, God's going to do something in your life. We need to open ourselves up to his grace. We need to walk in it. In fact, we need to let it grow in us. Right? That's what seeds are meant to do. They're meant to grow. So you allow what God has put into you to work its way out. And so those of you that are recipients of his grace, that you've received that, you've opened yourself up, what do? We continue in that grace. We continue to have faith that the Christ that I'm listening to, the Christ that I'm giving his voice priority, it's going to help me understand and interpret all the other voices. I'm going to continue to listen to him, and I'm going to believe something. I'm going to believe that he who has begun a good work in us, that he will carry it out to the day of completion, in the day of Christ Jesus. Now, on the other hand, because this is a twofold thing, right? He's saying, hey, if you receive this, you walk in it, more is going to be given to you. But on the other hand, he says, even what they have will be taken away. And so what he's saying is, he's saying, hey, if you remain like the superficial crowd that came, they gathered, they heard it, but they gave greater voice. They gave greater voice to the cares of the world. Cares of the world keep coming, right? They're going to come, and they're coming. And that's okay. Just don't give them greater voice. And they gave greater voice to the cares of the world. They gave greater voice to the deceitfulness of riches and the desires, as Jesus says, for other things. What happens when we give those things greater voice, bit by bit, slowly, we lose the sense of God doing anything in our lives. We lose the reality that God is doing anything in the midst of our lives to the point that he becomes irrelevant to everything we do. We call that Western civilization. Last point, and I'll close on this one. What we revere, we will resemble. Whatever you revere, whatever you revere, you're going to eventually resemble. Greg Beale writes, what people revere, they resemble either for ruin or for restoration. I think that's what Jesus is saying. You revere my words, you revere me, you're going to experience restoration. You're going to experience more of my grace. You're going to experience becoming the person you were created to be in the image and likeness of God. But those of us, if we ignore that, whatever we're revering, that's going to be for ruin. We need to listen to and seek after Jesus. And that's when we become more like him. And if we listen to and we seek the things, other things, you know what we do? We become like other things. The psalmist put it this way. Psalm 135, 15 through 17. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, nor is any breath in their mouths. Verse 18. And those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. I don't want to become like idols. I want to become like Christ. Church, how's your hearing? Are you hearing? Do you need to make an adjustment? Do you need to tune into a different channel to hear Jesus? Because who we're listening to is vital to everything we do. Let me pray. Lord God, we're so thankful that you're gracious to us and you invite us to not just hear you, but to know you, to come into a relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ, who has defeated sin and defeated death. He's seated at your right hand right now, and he's interceding on our behalf, so we know that you hear our prayers. And Father, I pray that we would have ears to hear. We would be in tune to you. That we would hear your voice above every other voice that's out there. Lord, have your way with us today. If you've revealed any idols in our lives, I pray that we would turn from those in repentance. We don't want to become like idols. We want to become like your son. We love you, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.